Well, good evening, everyone. Tonight I have something very special that I want to share with you. There'll be no need for a Bible reading, for I've received a word from the Lord to share with you. Special message. I want you to give me your full attention. I wonder what you're thinking. Knowing most of you, I imagine you're deeply skeptical, and so you should be. Maybe some of the elders are ready to take me out. Many today claim to have a word from God, a new teaching, a new understanding of God's word. Words of prophecy, a new teaching, were a threat to the early church too. And so John is combating this threat. And he's encouraging believers to stand firm in the truth. So please turn in your Bibles. We want to read from 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 to 6. This is God's word. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. So John, as you'll remember, is reassuring believers that their salvation is true. And remember how he uses three tests to prove that you are a genuine believer. And hopefully you have these tests down by now. You have the obedience test. This is where a believer is someone who obeys God's commands, where you seek to live a righteous life. The love test, where you love your fellow believers. And then the belief test, or the doctrine test. A child of God has a correct understanding of who Jesus is. And it's this belief test that John is touching on again in our passage this evening. He helps his readers realize that they are to hold on to the Spirit of truth, while it's the false teachers who hold on to the spirit of error. So I want you to notice you are to discern truth from error so you don't listen to false teachers. And this you do because the Spirit of God is in you. So firstly, let's consider false teachers are many, so you are to be discerning in who you listen to. Verse 1, in John's day, there were many preachers, many offering prophecy, offering new teaching, and it appears that John's readers were uncritical. Instead of skepticism, they were open to new messages. They listened. They were buying into these falsehoods. John tells them not to believe every spirit, but to test them. Behind every prophet, every preacher, there is a spirit, and it's either the spirit of God or it's the spirit of the devil. Now, remember when Paul was in Berea and he preached, how did the Bereans respond? In Acts 17, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bereans tested everything against the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. It's incredible because their reputation of discernment is still known 2,000 years later. Likewise, you should be discerning in who and what you listen to. John Stott says there is a need for Christian discernment, for many are too gullible and exhibit a naive readiness to credit messages and teachings which purport to come from the spirit world. There is such a thing, however, as a misguided tolerance of false doctrine. Unbelief can be as much a mark of spiritual maturity as belief. We should avoid both extremes, the superstition which believes everything and suspicion which believes nothing. So the reason for this openness, is there is this dumbed-down desire, a desire for a dumbed-down Christianity. In the world today, there is a desire to be more tolerant, more accepting of all who call themselves Christians. But there is a danger to this. Barnes says in his commentary, it is a particularly unpleasant fact of church life that not all teaching that presents itself as Christian is in fact Christian. And we need to be aware of this in these ecumenical days when people are so fond of playing down any differences of belief. There are false teachers in the professing church of the Lord Jesus Christ in all denominations. And the Bible gives us frequent warnings of this. Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Peter says in his letter, "But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words." Luke also mentions in Acts 20, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples from themselves." There is warning after warning. Do not think that you will be immune to this, or this church, or this denomination will be immune. No, you must be discerning. False teachers are present. Anytime you listen to a sermon, you read a book, you go to a conference, you must not automatically believe everything you hear. You must compare it to God's word. And this is all the more real in the age of the internet. Brett McCracken says, "What's new is that in the internet age, any given sheep is vulnerable to literally millions of wolves whose overt or subtle dangers are only a few clicks away. The search bar is the spiritual battleground of our day, and yet it's a largely hidden battleground where the fight for hearts and minds is waged in one-on-one combat." We are living in the days of the so-called expert. One cartoon shows a man on his computer commenting to his wife, "That's odd. All my Facebook friends who were once constitutional scholars just a month ago are now infectious disease experts." And even Pastor Rich, in his blog this past week, he comments on this, saying, "The internet tempts us to believe that we can all be experts in any topic that we decide to study. The problem is that the information on the internet is only as good as its source, and the sources are all over the map in terms of their reliability." So consider every message that you read or you listen to, and discern what spirit is behind that. A demonic spirit will be out to destroy you. That's why this is so serious. And John is giving us a number of tests in this passage to find out the spirit behind the teaching. And so secondly, you can't determine falsehood by whether Jesus is the focus of the teaching. Verses 2 and 3. So you know if someone has the Spirit of God because they preach Christ. Christ is central to their message. It's the true identity of Christ, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is God. Now, one of the teachers of that time was a man named Cerinthus. He was an opponent of John who did not believe in the divinity of Christ. Instead, he believed that Jesus was the natural son of Mary and Joseph. It was when he was baptized that God the Spirit descended on him to enable him then to perform many miracles. And it was at Christ's crucifixion that the Spirit of God departed from him. Well, this is completely wrong. It's not biblical. And according to Polycarp, who was one of John's disciples, he tells the story of how John the Apostle rushed out of a bathhouse in Ephesus without bathing when he discovered that Cerinthus was inside, exclaiming, "Let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down because Cerinthus, the enemy of truth, is inside." I'm not sure if that's a true story, but it's certainly interesting. John was so afraid of this man and his false teaching. To deny the deity of Jesus Christ, John says, is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's how serious this false teaching is. And when John says it's from the Antichrist, it means it's an opposition to Christ. It's instead of. The Antichrist will come in the future, but even today, any teaching that opposes Christ is in alliance with the Antichrist. It is of the devil. It is out to destroy the work of Christ. By denying that Jesus is truly God and truly man, is therefore to deny his work as a Savior, our Savior. And that's obvious when you consider the many groups that do deny the true identity of Christ. John was dealing with the Gnostics here, and Al Mohler was talking about the Gnostics in his podcast this past week, saying how the Gnostics believed that only an elite had the special insight, had a secret knowledge. And this secret knowledge was the key to their salvation, to their illumination. And so this teaching, therefore, excludes Jesus, or at the very least teaches that Jesus plus the secret knowledge is necessary to be able to have salvation. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not a secret truth. It's a public truth. We are in church today declaring the public truth of Christ. God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. The apostles, they got in trouble for preaching the gospel publicly rather than keeping it a secret. And consider various cults, various false religions. None of them have a correct view of Jesus. And when you don't believe in the true identity of Jesus, well, there is a need then to add to the gospel by your own efforts. And all the cults, all the false religions, they recognize that a lesser Christ is no Christ at all, because each of them seek to make up for the difference by demanding that their followers add by doing some ritual or by doing some good works to therefore achieve salvation. The Christ of the Bible, he is sufficient. And so it's critical that his true identity is taught. He is God the Son. He came into the world as a man. And this is a struggle for many because they believe that it's too demeaning for God to come in the flesh. And the reason for this thinking is because they believe the flesh is evil. But God did come in the flesh. He had to become our representative. But he never sinned. He was perfectly righteous. And as a result, he could make atonement for our sin. The false prophets, they denied the pre-existence of Christ. And that's why John emphasizes how Jesus has come in the flesh. is of God. John records in his gospel of how Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And so Jesus has always existed. John 1 verse 1, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Clearly, John is teaching that Jesus is more than a man, but the God-man. And since he is God, he has power over death, and so rose on the third day back to life. So only Christ qualifies as your Savior. Any other Christ offers no salvation at all. Instead, you will perish. That's why John says it is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist seeks to destroy. And so it's a matter of life and death. You can't have a vague understanding of who Jesus is. You can't say it doesn't matter, that it's not crucial. It is crucial that we preach the true identity of Jesus Christ. Any other teaching is from the Antichrist. I remember mentioning to a friend how disappointing that an old church building had been converted into a restaurant. And his response was, better a restaurant than a church that doesn't preach Christ. And so we should lament over the fact that many churches today do not preach Christ. So watch out for false teachers. You can identify them by what they say about the identity of Jesus Christ. Well, thirdly, notice you can be confident and stand firm against false teaching, because the Spirit of God is in you. Verse 4. All this talk of false teachers, of wolves in sheep's clothing, understandably makes John's readers nervous. And so John seeks to reassure them. In verse 4, he moves from false teachers to his readers, and he assures them that they are of God. What's the evidence of this? Well, John writes that they overcame these false teachers. They were not deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist. And is it because they are smarter? That they have a greater insight? No, because God is in them. The Holy Spirit is in them. He enables them to see through the lies of the false teachers and instead embrace the truth. And Jesus spoke of this in John 16, verse 13, when he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And so it was probably for this reason that the false teachers that were seeking to influence John's readers had departed, had moved on. No one was listening to their lies. Well, you likewise have the Holy Spirit in you. He illuminates your minds to the truth, so you can be confident of the truth, so you can identify lies. You do not need to be afraid, but you can call out false teaching. We live in a day of tolerance, but you are not to tolerate what is not true. You must recognize the damage that false teaching can do. Luther said, he who affirms the truth except where it's being denied is a heretic. We live in a world that wants to say that we all worship the same God. Well, you must show that this is not the case, that all religions are not the same, that we are not praying to the same God. No, we must be strong on this. And this can be hard. These falsehoods are held by people that we greatly admire, maybe family members, maybe teachers in your school, professors in your university, maybe good friends. That's often how people are led astray, because of people whom they respect, and especially in romantic relationships. How many have walked away from the gospel because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend who hold to different beliefs? No, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. He will give you understanding. He will help you see those who are trapped in lies. And so pray each time you read God's word that God would give you understanding. You can have confidence in him and know you are secure in him from false teaching. Well, fourthly, consider if the world likes a message, you should be skeptical of that message. Verse 5. It is insightful when you consider who is listening to the message. And John tells us that this teaching from these false teachers, it resonated with the world. The world listens to them. The reason why is because these teachers are worldly. They love the world, and they go for the same things that the world goes for. What is the message that you are continually hearing? Some churches, the pulpit is a platform for a variety of issues. Environmentalism, social justice, how to live a better life now. Now, some of these can be legitimate topics, but they should not be the central topic. Instead, the focus must be on God and how we can be right with God through Christ. I wonder if you've ever watched the movie Super Size Me. Is about a man who ate for a whole year nothing but McDonald's, seeing if McDonald's really is nutritious, and it showed him deteriorating on this experiment. Junk food, like McDonald's, looks attractive, but it's not satisfying, and it will ultimately affect your health. And in many churches, they are serving up junk food. And it's having long-term effects. It's affecting people's commitment. There's a lack of commitment now. It's affecting the next generation, where the next generation no longer wants to go to church. No, you want to hear God's word. And here in this church, you get to hear God's word Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Sunday school. And there are opportunities for Bible study during the week. Make the most of hearing the truth. Sadly, many churches simply want to preach not according to God's agenda, but according to the world's agenda. And they can even be very successful. They attract large numbers. But numbers are not a sign of faithfulness. Jeremiah warns of false teachers in his day, teaching things that people want to hear. And it's in your outline, Jeremiah 23:16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. You will attract a crowd if you tell them what they want to hear, like how they can know peace, how they can know prosperity, good health. Healing services attract many people, but they also give a false hope. And many people are left burned when it does not come true. Jeremiah himself prophesied that the exile would be over in 70 years. But there was another prophet, Hananiah, who prophesied that it would only last 2 years. Well, what was the more popular message? Obviously Hananiah, but he preached a false message of hope, and God judged Hananiah for his lies. No, we must remain faithful to God, not to the world. Luther says when we speak by the Spirit, the majority will snore. Well, thankfully, the world is not our judge. God is our judge, and so you must be faithful to him and to his word. You should be wary of those who are popular in the world's eyes. Then finally, fifthly, as a child of God, you know the voice of your master, and so you must submit to his teaching. Who are you listening to? A Christian is one who listens to the word of God. As a result, you are to listen to the apostles. The apostles were men with a unique office, an office that can't be repeated again. Men chosen by Christ to represent him, to speak his word. They received this special commission from God. And so as a result, they are to be listened to. That's why John, one of the apostles, said, "Whoever knows God listens to us." These false teachers are not in the same league as the apostles. It's not a case, well, that's only John's opinion. No, this is what God says through the apostle John. To reject the apostles' teaching is therefore to reject God. As one of God's children, you are to hear God's voice. And in the reading earlier from John 10, Pastor Rich read how Jesus taught his sheep, how his sheep hear his voice. And so are you listening to the voice of your master, of your shepherd? I'm currently reading to the children Patricia St. John book, The Tanglewood Secret. And it's a beautiful account of how a little girl becomes a Christian. And she has to battle not wanting to do her chores and throwing tantrums. But the little girl is encouraged to listen to the shepherd's voice. And instead of the voice that tells her to be angry and disobedient, she hears a voice telling her to obey and be kind. And likewise, what is Christ saying to you in your circumstances? The Spirit who is with you enables you to discern God's voice. He enables you to apply his word, God's word, whether that's from the Old Testament, whether it's from the New Testament, especially the apostles' writing, to your life. So as a Christian, you must have an appetite for God's word and for all of God's word, not some watered-down version of God's word. Many churches encourage a superficial understanding of God's word. You must not be content with that. Now, if you are to visit the UK and you are offered a glass of juice, you should probably decline. In the UK, juice is orange cordial that is watered down. And we love the stuff, but that's because we've grown up on it. Americans who drink it find it nasty. You guys are spoilt with your Florida oranges. You enjoy the real thing. And in the same way, don't accept a diluted version of the truth. Be faithful in listening to the whole truth. Paul describes it as the sword of the Spirit. It's your weapon against the falsehoods that come your way. So grow in your knowledge of God's word. Hear your master speaking to you. Listen to what he says. Barnes, in his commentary, says, "All over the church, let alone the world, there are people who think that they know better than the word of God. And we find this in all sorts of issues, such as the way of salvation, the existence of hell, the practice of homosexuality, or the wisdom of corporal discipline. We are to test all teachers, not by their charm, their liveliness, their intelligence, their plausibility, the attractiveness of their presentation, or their capacity to hold an audience by their powers of oratory. What matters is the contents of their teaching. The point is that the one who is of God hears God's words, while the one who is not of God rejects God's words." So as a child of God, you will listen to God, even if it's not a popular message, even if it's not acceptable to the world, even if it's delivered by the dullest preacher. So remember, you are to discern truth from error. Don't listen to the false teachers. And this you can do because the Spirit of God is in you. A couple of weeks ago, Heather and I watched a documentary, American Gospel, Christ Alone. I would recommend it, though it is very long. It's over 2 hours long. But this documentary is critical of American Christianity, which is being exported around the world. It criticizes the prosperity gospel preached by the likes of Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen, but then also a more subtle prosperity gospel that has been named a moralistic, therapeutic deism. And this is when the church is not Christ-focused. Instead, it's a place to feel better about yourself. One person described it this way: "Jesus died for my sins. That's so convenient. I won't go to hell. I can go do my own thing. I can worship God on Sundays, but the rest of the week is free to chase after things that make me happy. Sadly, this thinking is all too common in the church today. These churches are focused not on God, but on the people and what the people want. It's to entertain them, it's to make them feel good. It causes those to believe the gospel is no more than an insurance policy, only need it on the day you die. The true gospel, it brings change. It recognizes that Christ is King. To be part of his kingdom, you need to repent. You need to believe. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, enabling this change, continuing this change. So let's remember, God, the Holy Spirit, is in you, and he will lead you into truth. So test everything by him. Amen. I'll spend a few moments in silence before I say a prayer to close. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, you would help us to be more discerning in what we listen to, that we wouldn't go after what the world desires, but instead that we would be faithful to you. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to know the truth. And so, Lord, give us an appetite for your word so that we would hear you, that we would hear your voice as we go about our day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close by singing from the Psalm book, Psalm 119N. And Psalm 119, as you know, is a psalm about God's word. Here the psalmist sees that God's word is his only guide. Well, let that be true for you too, that it would be God's word that would guide you in every step of your life. Let's stand and sing Psalm 119N.